all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio. And now, your host for today's program, Jim Fossone.
We want to welcome to Veterans Radio today, Nick Babcock, an Army veteran. Nick, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Well, thank you, sir. It's a real privilege to be on the radio with you today and talk about two of my passions, veterans and agriculture.
Well, this is a great intersection here, so that's why we want to have you on. But let's start a little bit with who Nick is. Tell us where you grew up and how you ended up in the military.
Absolutely. Well, I grew up in New Michigan, just outside of East Lansing, in a community called Hazlett. And I knew it was one of those things. If you talked to 20 of my classmates, they would tell you, all 20 of them would say, that guy's going to be in the military. And it was absolutely what I knew I wanted to do. My dad served. And it was just one of those things that I knew that's what I wanted to do. So I actually enlisted when I was still in high school in the Army, and took off and did that. I served in Operation Enduring Freedom. I served in Operation Noble Eagle domestically, as well as conducted search and rescue operations after Hurricane Katrina. So I really had a very wide and exciting and fun time in the military, in the Army. And I was medically retired in the fall of 2013.
So what year did you end up enlisting and going in then, Nick?
Yeah, I enlisted in February of 1998, so 20 years ago, just a couple months.
Wow, how did that time go by so fast, right?
Exactly.
So you spent a long career, really, in the Army and the U.S. National Guard and had some overseas deployments. Tell us a little bit about your overseas deployments.
Yeah, well, I was in Guantanamo Bay. I worked down there, and we worked in detention operations and, just worked on the global war on terrorism from that perspective. And then here domestically with the National Guard, I was a full-time member of the Guard, so I wore my uniform every day and went out, and I did a wide range of tasks from drug education with both military and non-military members, as well as running the drug testing and alcohol and being a unit prevention leader for the state of Michigan with the Army National Guard.
Oh, that's great. Now, did you, you said you had to be medically retired. Were these service-connected issues?
They were, and I was diagnosed with cancer and diabetes, and as I tell a lot of people, the Army broke me, and just like those signs when you see it with your kids, if you break it, you buy it, it applies to the U.S. government as well, so... They broke me, and they apologized and bought me and sent me along my way. So I try to make good light of it now, but it was definitely some trials and some tribulations getting to this point. But, take it all in good stride.
Well, and I think that's one of the important things we try to communicate on Veterans Radio when we talk to somebody like you, Nick Babcock, which is, everything's not always on the easy street, right? There were hard times getting discharged medically. You probably had to get yourself qualified for some benefits, and you had some GI Bill available to you. So what'd you do afterwards, after you got out of the service?
Yeah, well, like many service members from all different branches, the out processing was a long process for me. It took nearly 5 years before, from the day it started to the day I finally retired. And in fact, the Army tried to retire me twice. Very interesting story, but that one I'll have to tell you. We got a lot more time to talk, that's for sure. But it was something that we knew was coming. It was something that my wife and I, we knew was coming. And even which I think is kind of unique, because even as a full-time National Guard service member, that's what I knew. That was my life. And, when we look at reserve components as still having this dual life of civilian life and military life. And for our full-time service members, a lot of that's not the same. We get up, we wear our uniform every day, and we experience that military life every day. So it was actually kind of a more difficult transition than I anticipated, because I thought, oh, this is going to be fine. I'm, you know, I'm already living in the mid-Michigan area. You know, I'm not having to make all these transitions, but it was really quite a surprise to me to transition true 100% civilian life out of that full-time guard role. And my wife and I like to say that we like to say that she said I was too young to stay home and be retired. So I enrolled at Michigan State University, and I really wanted to change the world. I wanted to become a physician's assistant. And we said, okay, let's rock it out. And I sat down through my first biology course, and I said, whoa, what's going on? You know, my professor's talking about stuff from last year in high school, and I'm like, that was a decade and a half plus for me, so this is kind of a challenge. And through that, I realized I could get through, but medical school probably wasn't going to happen with a grade point average of not being, you know, near that high threes and a 4 point. So through that, I really picked up an opportunity, a second passion of mine, which is agriculture. And we had, at that point, had already had been raising sheep. And I went to the animal science department and got plugged in there. So I started studying animal agriculture with a focus in beef cattle and sheep management.
Well, again, I think it's one of those things, I appreciate you sharing it with our listeners, that, hey, sometimes life isn't a straight path. The educational direction you were headed wasn't necessarily going to work out, and you shifted to something that you were still passionate about and maybe better suited for, and you ultimately picked up your bachelor's degree from the Michigan State University in animal science. And while you were at Michigan State University, I believe you were involved with the Student Veterans of America organization. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. It was awesome. What I try to encourage everyone, whether it's an 18-year-old freshman that's, you know, just walking on campus for the first time, or it's a non-traditional type student who's coming in later in life, is get engaged, get involved, experience what we're going around. And for me, it's truly changed my life on many levels. And so I got involved on campus. One of the first things, you know, I came across was this Student Veterans of America chapter at Michigan State University. And I went there, and it was kind of, it was kind of like being back on an installation in some regards. You know, there was folks from the Navy and the Air Force and the Army and the Marine Corps, and everyone was there with a huge diverse background in education. But what was really awesome was that they were at all levels. There was master's students, there was true freshmen, there was transfer sophomores, and all types of backgrounds where they had all sorts of resources around campus that they were aware of. Like, hey, we can use this or we can do that. So it's just an amazing experience to get plugged in with other veterans that kind of, for me, they kind of saw past the 18 to 19 to 21-year-old mark that there was more to life. You know, it wasn't, hey, it's a Thursday night, let's go meet at the bar downtown. It was, hey, we're going home to our family, or, hey, you want to, you know, come over and do this, that type of thing. So it was a much different pace of life with a lot of the veterans that were there, which really suited me well. But it gave us an opportunity to really get engaged with the student body all across campus, from different organizations and student organizations all the way up to the university administration, and talking about how we can continue to engage the university to make it a veteran-friendly environment. And Michigan State has made some huge steps to make that happen over the last couple of years, and it's really been awesome to be a part of some of that change.
Well, it's a good example of how veterans kind of can stick together and help each other move forward in a new environment, whether it be academic or the business world or the agricultural world. So let's move to that a little bit. You're actively involved with the Michigan chapter of Farmers Veteran Coalition. Tell us a little bit about what that organization is.
Absolutely. And I think that even a quarter step back from that is that this whole opportunity came about because I got engaged at Michigan State. And some of the folks that I met at the university were already aware of the Farmer Veteran Coalition, and they pulled me in and they said, hey, come check this out. You know, you're an ag guy. You've got this background in agriculture. You've got this thing going on. What do you think? So it's really cool because those connections at the university level, but really, you know, the connections that any of us can make anywhere really begin to open up those doors and those opportunities. And, you know, so now I'm actually sitting as I had the privilege of serving as the chapter president for the Farmer Veteran Coalition. And, it's really an honor to represent our veterans all across the state from all different types of agriculture and be their voice and be a part of what they're looking to do. So we've got, in the Farmer Veteran Coalition, we really believe that our mission is really, to continue service to our country. It's that we can make a difference in our communities through food. And that's huge to us, and we really believe that's continued service. So we've got folks on quarter-acre lots in cities all the way up to, some folks are doing organic operations. Some folks are involved in more conventional operations. And, again, from that quarter-acre lot all the way up to, like, over 1,000 acres, a couple of our members are farming massive amounts of land. And really, again, providing resources for fuel and for food and really to help, keep our country moving in a forward direction.
Nick, are there particular traits that veterans bring to agriculture because of their military experience that you think make this sort of fit really well, this intersection between veterans and agriculture?
Absolutely. And I think that if you were to talk to any veteran who's involved in agriculture, they're probably going to act with the exact same thing that I'm about to tell you. And that is, we understand what it's like to be mission driven. You know, and that's what probably one of those things that, I think the military installed so much into us is there's a task in front of us that has to be accomplished. And that alone, that's agriculture, and that's if the weather's right, you're planting your seed or you're harvesting your crop. And it doesn't matter if you're sick, if you've got all these other things going on, you've got this job that has to get done in this small open window. And I think, that correlates to livestock as well. If you're raising sheep or poultry or cattle, your cattle don't care how you're feeling this morning. And, you've got to get up. You've got to complete that task for the day. So it's super mission-oriented. And I think the other part that we really echo, again, is this continued service to your country because, from the fuel we drive to the food we consume, it involves agriculture, and it's another way to serve and better our communities. Instead of maybe combat boots and a rifle, maybe we're wearing muck boots and long sleeves, to get those tasks done. So it's got a huge correlation in that. And oftentimes, too, we're often solving problems with limited resources. I think that is probably another thing that really parallels our military life of, I've got 3 parts, I'm supposed to have 10, but I need to make this thing work. I need to get this fence fixed, or I need to, get this planner working. How am I going to do with what I have? So I think the other aspect is just being resourceful, and I think a lot of that parallels to our military service as well, sir.
Well, Semper Gumby comes to mind. Always staying flexible depending on how the circumstances change.
Absolutely, absolutely.
One of the things that I was interested in and when I was doing some background research here is I was surprised at the size of the Farmer Veteran Coalition. There's over 10,000 members currently. 57% of them have some service-disabled status. About 85% of them are men, 15% are women. But that's a pretty big group. I'm sort of shocked at that number, but maybe I shouldn't be. Tell us what your reception's been with other veterans in this field.
Oh, it's been awesome. I think that generally we as veterans kind of can easily understand each other, and I think that pretty much all of us would admit that, I think, or at least have experienced that, where we can find ourselves in a situation, we find another veteran, and it's almost like there's a sense of ease. And there's a sense of like, okay, I get your lingo, you get my lingo. And I think that really correlates really well to agriculture. So when we come across veterans, and not just OEF or, Enduring Freedom, Operation Enduring Freedom veterans or Iraqi Freedom veterans, but we've got Vietnam-era veterans. There's even World War II vets that are no longer farming that still own farm property that I love to sit down and talk to and hear their stories. So I think, that it really helps bring some of those barriers down. When we go out to talk to veterans, we go out to talk to people about agriculture, they kind of bring some of those barriers down. But, yeah, our membership is awesome. We've got over 480 members here in Michigan. And what's really awesome about our membership is we don't have any dues. So if you're out there and you're involved in agriculture and you're a veteran you can go to, you know, farmvetco.org. You can get registered on there, and you're just going to get a part of some of the resources that we have to offer. And again, we have nothing that we charge for dues. It's just something that we have a mission and a passion to help veterans and help those in agriculture.
Well, one of the things we've certainly found here on Veterans Radio and talking to a lot of veteran business owners is that they really like to do business with other veterans. They like to network with other veterans in their business area and help support them as they grow their businesses. Do you find that same spirit among veterans in the agricultural field?
Absolutely, we sure do. And, you know, even from like a business and a marketing aspect, for example, one of the things that we have is called a Homely Owned by Heroes label. So if the business that you're a part of is producing a product, whether it be value-added or a direct product, so, you know, maybe you're making honey sticks with some of your beekeeping operation, or you're straight-up selling grass-fed beef or pastured pork or conventional crops and those types of things, you can market those things as being veteran-produced. And, again, there's no charge to use our Homegrown by Heroes label. You know, you can get involved, you know, get registered with our organization. We'll verify that you are a service member, and then bam, we'll start providing you those resources to market your products. But yeah, absolutely. We find that just being able to work with a fellow veterans makes it huge. But there's also so many other community organizations out there that want to support not only ag, but again, veterans in agriculture. You know, and places like AgriBility. So if you've got a veteran out there and you have a disability, and it's something that we can help modify some equipment, we've got resources. You know, we've got AgriBility. We have Beth Behrens, one of our board members, is a big member of AgriBility here in Michigan to help disabled individuals, so not just veterans, but all disabled individuals who want to continue to farm. And they're a huge supporter. And, you know, it's also important to recognize, like, Michigan Farm Bureau, they're a big supporter of what we do. They help us put on training opportunities. We've got some board members that are represented by Michigan Farm Bureau. Michigan State University is key, as well as Greenstone Farm Credit Service. So what we've really found is that there's this big momentum that the individuals that want to support veterans and support veterans in agriculture, and we're just trying to harness that so we can help tap into such a diverse agriculture field that we have here in Michigan.
And you mentioned credit and finance. That's always the driver for every business, and I suspect it's a real driver in the agricultural field as well. Are you able to connect veterans who are interested in this area up with those who help them on the financial side?
Absolutely, and that's one of the biggest things. So we, as the National Organization of Farmer Veteran Coalition, help with some fellowship opportunities for individuals to expand their current operation. But one of the things we also are is we like to be a hub. So there's some special financing options, as well as loan types that you can, as a veteran, can get to, like the Farm Service Agency, or FSA, the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And we would be more than happy to help guide people along to those steps and get those gears moving and those gears turning, because we understand sometimes we get a bitter taste. We've had a bad experience with the bureaucracy of government, whether it's the VA or whether it was our units or whether it was, you know, the higher command, or even, you know, just different places. So we understand some of those set dissatisfactions that we have. But the people out there are great to work with, and we're really excited. We'd love to be able to help, you know, transition people. But it just depends on your age. There's certain, you know, there's benefits to being, if you're 35 or younger, you're considered a young farmer, so there's special options there. If you haven't been involved in agriculture for more than 10 years, there's some special programming there. So there's just tons of opportunities that we could definitely help you link up to your resources.
Well, and I think that's really the key to anyone who's listening to this who may be interested or has a friend, a family member who's interested in taking their experiences and moving to agriculture. You don't know what you don't know, and until you talk to a guy like Nick Babcock, who's the president of the Michigan chapter of Farm Veteran Coalition, you don't know what opportunities are out there. That's really what the networking's all about, isn't it, Nick?
That it is. It really is. And, you know, that's what we love. We love to be able to connect those resources We want to be able to connect people and really just get a new passion for agriculture, a new passion to help our communities, because it's beneficial. And I tell you, you know, we've got a lot of people that have gotten into agriculture even for the therapeutic aspect. We've had veterans out there that have struggled with PTSD, or they've struggled just getting reintegrated, or stress or depression. And I tell you, you know, it can be extremely rewarding when you're out there and you're, you know, you're raising livestock and you're going through, there's moments of stress, don't get me wrong, by any stretch of the imagination. But I tell you, you know, there's a lot of people that have turned to agriculture as a coping mechanism. And it's so wide. You know, there's so many different programs out there from apiculture, which is beekeeping, right? And there's just, there's so many things that people can be doing on many, many levels, whether it be small to large, that are therapeutic, they're good for your soul, they're good to help you internally, and really make a difference in your community.
Well, I think you hit on one of the things, too, that our listeners should be taking away as a pearl of wisdom here is, hey, if you're starting small, you should still connect with Farmer Veteran Coalition, because they can still help you. You don't have to be a big organization. It can be, you know, you alone or you and two or three people. You service and assist those smaller operations as well, I assume, Nick.
Oh, absolutely. I would say probably, 85 to 90% of our membership, I mean, we're talking like 7 acres or less. I mean, we're talking a vast majority of the people that we help and we love to work with are on the very low scale for land use operations. I mean, again, there's people that are on the other side of that, but a vast majority of people are figuring out how we can take these food oases that we have, these areas where we don't have fresh food in our cities, you know, where there's no fresh food in their supermarket areas because they're with corner stores now and these type of things. So we see these opportunities, how we can take just a quarter acre, we can put up a hoop house, and we can provide fresh fruit and fresh vegetables for people that aren't getting them. And they really, really see it as a very rewarding opportunity. So yeah, even if you're on a quarter acre line, you're like, we definitely would love to have you get involved, get engaged. And like I said, one of the coolest things we can do is even just give you the opportunity to market your product as a veteran produced product.
And certainly with the momentum that exists for farmers markets, there's a lot of outlets to let those small farmers, provide that fresh produce, provide that fresh product, and make a little money along the way. So real interesting area we haven't talked about before on Veterans Radio. Nick Babcock, if somebody's interested in your Michigan chapter, how do they find you and keep track of it?
Absolutely. Well, the easiest thing is, you know, we're on Facebook, FBC Michigan on Facebook, or a real simple way is just shoot us an email at michigan@farmvetco.org. So that's Michigan, all one word, @farmvetco.org.
And if they want to gather some information on the national organization, the address, the website, if you will, is farmvetco.org as well, www.farmvetco.org. Remember, it's a .org, otherwise you'll go off into the internet land. So,
absolutely. You know, and I would say encourage, get on there and look at some of our sponsors. And I think, you know, I really like to speak about even the Bob Woodruff Foundation, you know, who was the reporter that was injured by an IED in Iraq. And now he's got a huge passion for helping veterans with disabilities. And I know their family's local from this area of Michigan, excuse me. And, so get on there and check out some of the people that really agree and want to partner along. And you can see, you know, that we really are a great organization with some great organizations that are wanting to partner up and help veterans get into agriculture and change our communities.
Well, we want to thank you, Army veteran Nick Babcock, for spending some time and talking to us about veterans and agriculture here today on Veterans Radio.
Thank you, sir. It's been a privilege.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. PFC Alfred Wilson threw himself on a grenade, knowing full well the result of his actions. Details after this. While returning from a reconnaissance in-force mission in the vicinity of Fire Support Base Cunningham in Quang Tri Province, the 1st Platoon of Company M came under intense automatic weapons fire and a grenade attack from a well-concealed enemy force. As the center of the column was pinned down, the leading squad moved to outflank the enemy. Wilson, acting as squad leader of the rear squad, skillfully maneuvered his men to form a base of fire and act as a blocking force. In the ensuing firefight, both his machine gunner and assistant machine gunner were seriously wounded and unable to operate their weapons. Realizing the urgent need to bring the weapon into operation again, Wilson, followed by another Marine and with complete disregard for his safety, fearlessly dashed across the fire-swept terrain to recover the weapon. As they reached the machine gun, an enemy soldier stepped from behind a tree and threw a grenade toward the two Marines. Observing the grenade fall between himself and the other Marine, fully realizing the inevitable result of his actions, shouted to his companion and unhesitatingly threw himself on the grenade, absorbing the full force of the explosion with his own body and ultimately dying.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them.
Master Sergeant Gary Gordon requested permission 3 times to be inserted into a hot fire zone to protect downed helicopter crews before he got it. Details after this. Gordon, while serving as sniper team leader in Mogadishu, provided precision fire from the lead helicopter during an assault and at 2 helicopter crash sites. When Gordon learned that ground forces were not immediately available to secure the 2nd crash site, he and another sniper unhesitatingly volunteered to be inserted to protect the 4 critically wounded personnel. When debris and enemy ground fire at the site caused them to abort the first attempt, Gordon was inserted 100 meters south of the crash site. Gordon and his fellow sniper fought their way to reach the critically injured crew members. Gordon immediately pulled the pilot and the other crew members from the aircraft. Gordon used his long-range rifle and sidearm to kill an undetermined number of attackers until he ran out of ammunition. He then went back to the wreckage, recovering some of the crew's weapons and ammunition. Even though he was critically low on ammunition, he provided some of it to the dazed pilot and then radioed for help. After his team member was fatally wounded and his own rifle ammunition exhausted, he returned to the wreckage, recovering a rifle with the last 5 rounds of ammunition, and gave it to the pilot with the words, "Good luck." Then, armed only with his pistol, Gordon continued to fight until he was fatally wounded. His actions saved the pilot's life. He was posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor on May 23, 1994, by President Clinton.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Jim Fossum.
We want to welcome to Veterans Radio today Tom Smith, who's with the Michigan State University. Tom, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Well, thank you. My pleasure to be here.
Well, let's set this up a little bit. You're the Associate Director of the Institute of Agricultural Technology at Michigan State University, as I understand it.
That is correct, yes.
Well, that's a mouthful. We have you on really to talk about a specific program that the Institute is involved in called Vets to Ag, which I understand is a training jobs training program for veterans interested in the agricultural and natural resources field.
Yes, that's correct. And just a little bit of background, the Institute of Agricultural Technology at Michigan State is in the College of Agricultural and Natural Resources. And it has a really long background. It dates back to 1894, when there was a recognized need for outreach to farmers at the time that were not going to come to Michigan State. And so there was a creation of short courses. And that evolved over time and became the Institute of Agricultural Technology. And now, kind of our core mission is to offer 4-credit training programs at Michigan State University, but also in partnership with community colleges throughout the state. And these are programs that typically last 18 months to 2 years in length. The students are getting a certificate. And many of those students are what we would call non-traditional students, and so we do have many veterans that have taken advantage of them. But also within the Institute, we have this program called Vets to Ag, which, as you indicated, was a training program, is a training program for veterans. And we work with veterans that have significant barriers to employment, and we're training them for jobs in food, agricultural, and natural resources.
I assume that those fields have some need for skilled workforce. Can you talk a little bit about why this kind of training program for U.S. veterans in food, agricultural, and natural resources just even makes sense?
Sure, and you're right on the money that there is a real need for skilled labor in these areas, and there are jobs that many people aren't even aware of. If you haven't grown up in an agricultural setting or aren't familiar with the various ways that we process, distribute food, these jobs are oftentimes unknown. We work with a lot of veterans that are from urban areas, so we're not necessarily working with traditional agricultural areas. And the only reason we do that is we have a high population of veterans in some of our urban areas. We work with Detroit, Flint, Saginaw, and we are doing a program right now predominantly in the Detroit area or southeast Michigan. We're partnering with Forgotten Harvest, which is a nonprofit food collection and redistribution organization. They do some great work in Tri-County area there in making sure that those that don't have access to food are able to get that access. We also partner with the Detroit VA Hospital, and we're also partnering with Michigan Works, the Oakland County office. So the programs that we do oftentimes have a lot of collaborators because there's a lot of complexities to the veterans that we're working with. There is a need for a number of wraparound services. And we're also engaging employers because, again, ultimately that's the purpose of this program, is to pair employers and their needs with a set of skilled workers that can walk right in and do a great job. And our veterans really bring a lot of skills with them that are of great use to employers.
In Michigan, how long has this Vets to Ag program, this job training program, been in existence?
So this was started in 2009. It was actually started at the request of the state of Michigan, what is now the Veterans Services Division within the Michigan Workforce Development Agency. And that agency and that department, the Veterans Services Department, is charged with working with veterans, especially those that are seeing barriers to employment, looking for ways that they can pair employers with those veterans. Now, back in 2009, agriculture really wasn't one of those areas that they were targeting, and as the agency learned more about the opportunities in the agri-food sector in Michigan, they decided to approach Michigan State, talk about a training program that could be developed for their veterans. Food and agriculture is huge in Michigan. It is the second largest industry in the state, only behind manufacturing. We produce more commodities than any other state except for California. So not only is it huge, it is very diversified, and it has a value of over $100 billion in products. So there are a lot of opportunities in that sector. And when we talk about it, we're talking about all the way from production to processing of that product to the distribution of that product. And of course, when we are working in areas like Detroit, many times we have production, processing, and distribution all happening within that one area. So it is, it's big business, a lot of different job opportunities, but again, unless you are really growing up with that sector, most people are not aware of even where their food comes from and how it gets into that grocery store or into that restaurant or how it's even produced.
Well, and one of the challenges in any job hunt is not only to have the skill set, but sort of the networking that gets you to that job opening when it is available. And certainly for veterans who've been out of the traditional job workforce, they may not have developed those networking contacts and skills. So I suspect a certain amount of what your program does is put those veterans near employers and networking opportunities to land these kind of jobs.
Most definitely. And this is really an eye-opener for veterans. And it would be for anybody that, again, does not understand how that food system works. So it's very interesting when we first start the program. Unlike a lot of other workforce development programs where they are training for a specific job, we are exposing these veterans to an entire value chain with a number of different jobs available. So at first it's a little bit overwhelming for the veterans because they're not being trained to be a truck driver, they're not being trained to be a carpenter. They are really being exposed to this tremendous diversity of jobs, and it is our hope and our effort that we make as we go through the program that they begin to see areas that they can gravitate towards. So it is a unique program from that standpoint in that, again, a myriad of jobs, and that networking piece is a critical component. We bring in employers early on in the process. They talk about opportunities they have available and their needs from an employment standpoint, and that's when that networking process really begins. We bring them in throughout the program, and they're also an integral part of the graduation that we have when the veterans complete the program.
We're talking to Tom Smith, who's the coordinator of Vets to Ag program here in the state of Michigan and is affiliated with Michigan State University. Tom, is this a national effort, though? As an expert in the field, do you see similar sorts of training opportunities for veterans across the country?
You know, that's been one of the exciting things for me, because when I first became involved with this in 2009, I really had no knowledge or experience with these types of programs. And as we became involved in Vets to Ag, we created that brand, so to speak, and word got out, not just in Michigan, but across the country. I began to receive calls from other states. Some of these were from other universities. I began to receive calls from veterans. I began to receive calls from other organizations that were either setting similar types of programs up or wanted to. And so that while there is no formal network necessarily, there is certainly an informal network of many different types of training programs, all the way from programs that train veterans to be involved in their own farming operations, to training programs that work with veterans to become beekeepers, training programs that are focused on urban agriculture. We're a bit unique in that, again, we're really looking at a job training program rather than, again, one of the more entrepreneurial types of programs. And that's only because of the types of veterans that we're working with. Again, those that have significant barriers to employment. We have worked in the past with many veterans that are homeless or at risk of being homeless. We work with a lot of veterans that may have a criminal record. And that's not to say that we don't also work with veterans that don't have some of those barriers, but invariably we're trying to serve that population that is really had some struggles throughout their life after the military. We also tend to work with a lot of veterans that tend to be a little bit on the older side. And what is very sobering to me is sometimes this is kind of their last shot at turning things around in their lives. So we're very committed to this population. But there are a number of other programs throughout the country. There's a a national group, Farmer Veteran Coalition, and we have a very robust chapter here in Michigan of over 400 members. But those are really veterans that are engaged in farming, in agriculture, livestock. And while there is an intersection there, again, the Vets to Ag program is a little bit different niche and a unique niche, but I think a very important niche.
Well, and I want to stay with the Vets to Ag program for the moment. If we have a little time at the end, we'll broaden out to that Farmer Veterans Coalition where you sit as a board member for the Michigan chapter. But with respect to the Vets to Ag program, how many veterans go through the program, and can you talk to us about maybe the outcomes of that program?
Certainly, and I think outcomes are the most important. Obviously, you can do a program, but if it doesn't lead to successes, what's the purpose of that program? So just a little bit more background. Again, we date back to 2009. At that time, our first program was focused on the Christmas tree industry. We then looked at the success and the other opportunities in the programs, and we've done programs involved in the landscape industry. We also did two programs that train veterans to be meat cutters, and we work with the meat industry in Michigan. There's a tremendous need for skilled meat cutters. We also worked with the Department of Natural Resources. We did a program for training veterans in parks, recreation, and natural resource management in partnership with the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. We actually had some hands-on training at Belle Isle in the Detroit area. Our current program is really an evolution of what we started through a grant that was given to Forgotten Harvest by the Michigan Department of Agriculture and Rural Development. And that grant was to develop a training program in food production, food production processing and distribution. And it was a program focused on workforce development, and it was one of the only grants that they awarded to a program in an urban area. We have a lot of food producers, a lot of food processors in Southeast Michigan. And again, like a lot of operations, a lot of businesses in general, they're struggling to find skilled people. Our programs range anywhere from 6 weeks to 13 weeks. The initial programs we did starting in 2009 were residential programs. So we actually housed the veterans. We fed the veterans. It was a very intense program. The programs of recent are not residential, but they're still very intense. Anywhere, the current program we're doing now is 8 weeks in length. It's 5 days a week, 7 to 8 hours a day. The contact time would be equivalent to a student at Michigan State spending an entire semester in classes. So, this is again a very accelerated program. We also try to embed industry-recognized credentials into our programs. So the one we're doing now with food, we go through training for ServSafe, which is a food safety and handling program run by the National Restaurant Association. And we are doing at a manager's level, which is a pretty high level, and the students are able to then take an exam and become certified. We also do high-low certification, forklift training. We do training in hazard analysis, critical control point, or abbreviated HACCP. And that is something that all food processing operations need. So the veterans come out in this 8-week program with some very recognized industry credentials. They come out with a very broad background of understanding the whole value chain of the food industry. And, again, they are very intense programs because of the amount of time they spend in that program.
I would think that that kind of industry credentialing that you're providing would make the resume for anybody who goes through this program just pop for a potential employer.
Well, and I'll give you an example. We, again, finished our first cohort. We're starting our second cohort this next week. But at our graduation, one of our employer partners, upon hearing what we did and the amount of training and the certifications, said that for their operation, when they do ServSafe Manager, one of every nine employees that they have go through that passes that. Only one in every nine. We had every graduate complete and pass that certification. Now, our cohorts are very small compared to a class at Michigan State University. We range anywhere from 4 to 6 to up to 14 in a cohort. And there's reason behind that. This program is very intense. It's very individualized. And when we get much beyond those numbers, it becomes very difficult to connect with those veterans, let alone make sure we can meet their individual learning needs. So you are correct. Those credentials are very important to employers. They save the employers a lot of time and a lot of money because they are required for many jobs, and if they can have somebody that can walk into a position already possessing those, it's a real benefit. And so, you know, our rationale is provide those credentials, build that resume, especially for individuals that may not have a consistent work history. This program also demonstrates to employers that these individuals can be reliable. We have policies towards attendance. We have policies towards being tardy. We have very strict guidelines. So we treat this like a job. We are preparing them for a job and that environment from day one. And many times these are transformational for these veterans. They gain back a tremendous amount of self-confidence. They go from an attitude of dependency to an attitude of independence. And that doesn't happen overnight, but that type of life change is really something we have built into the program. And as I said, we have a lot of partners that help with that through wraparound services, through follow-up. We make an attempt to track our veterans at least a year after they complete the program. Obviously, we need their cooperation to do that. And we have partners that do that. Michigan State's not doing that. We're, you know, our cup of tea, so to speak, is the training component, the technical component. But we need a lot of other people sitting at the table, collaborating and partnering with us in order to make this program successful.
Well, it's a great training program, I can tell. You're clearly passionate about being the coordinator for the Vets to Ag program and your affiliation with Michigan State University and the Institute of Agricultural Technology. That's a mouthful. But we're talking to Tom Smith, who's the coordinator of that program, veteran radio listeners. And this is just one area where veterans are getting exposure to jobs in the food, agricultural, and natural resource fields. Maybe things they were never exposed to. So I think that's really interesting, Tom. But I'm going to take our last couple of minutes here and ask you to broaden it out a little bit. You mentioned you're involved with the Farmer Veterans Coalition chapter here in Michigan. There seems to be quite a movement of veterans getting involved in the farming industry, whether it's rural or urban. Talk to us a little bit about why that all seems to come together so well.
Sure, I'd be happy to. And, you know, when we look at programs to serve veterans, especially programs related to agriculture, there's a lot of places where particularly Michigan State can have a role. And I'm very proud for the university in taking a very proactive role with making sure veterans are exposed to these opportunities. As I mentioned, our credit-based programs in the Institute are very well suited to veterans because many veterans want to get in, learn that skill, learn that trade, and then get out. They don't necessarily want to belabor their time. They also bring tremendous skills that translate very well to agriculture. Many veterans obviously have served in difficult places in the world. They have been part of a team. They have great leadership skills. They demonstrate their ability to not only work in difficult situations, but also work independently. So when we look at what's needed in agriculture, it really mirrors what veterans bring and the skills they've developed from their military experience. So consequently, many veterans find a real opportunity with agriculture and a real opportunity to use the skills they've developed in the military to then go into agriculture. Now, we do have a lot of veterans that come from an agricultural background, but that's not always the case. And so even veterans that do not have that agricultural background find a great deal of satisfaction from getting involved in agriculture.
Tom,
so Farmer Veteran Coalition is a big national effort, and we're very proud in Michigan to have a chapter. And we have, again, over 400 members in that chapter, veterans that are involved in agriculture.
Tom, if somebody is interested in finding out more about the Vets to Ag program at Michigan State University, how do they contact you, or how do they find out more about the program?
Sure. Well, I have a very easy email to remember, given my name. It is simply SmithT48, Smith, T as in Tom, 48, at msu.edu. That's probably the easiest way to contact me, and I would welcome any calls, any emails for those that might be interested in being involved. We're also always looking for those that might want to support a program like this, because this is not funded through the university. This is not funded through state dollars or tax dollars. Our current program that we're doing in partnership with Forgotten Harvest is actually funded through Fiat Chrysler Foundation and the PNC Bank Foundation. And they're providing the funds to Forgotten Harvest to run this program of the two current cohorts that we're doing now. So kudos to them. But we're always looking for that type of support. Folks can reach out to me, whether they're interested in it themselves, whether they know a veteran who might benefit from it, or, again, if they're interested in looking for ways that they can support the program.
Well, we certainly want to thank those funders of such a valuable program, Fiat Chrysler Foundation and PNC Foundation. I'd also want to pass on to listeners, if you want more information on the Farmers Veterans Coalition that Tom's just spoken to, you can go to farmvetco.org. farmvetco.org. I think I got that right. Tom, I want to thank you for taking some time today and talking to our veteran radio listeners about the programs. What you're working on is really helpful to these veterans, and as you say, for many it's transformational.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. It's a pleasure, but more importantly, it's an honor to be able to serve our veterans in this way. And as you mentioned, it is something that I'm very passionate about. So thank you for the opportunity to bring light to this.